Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now, shop.asmia1.com, to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line. You can also find some sales goalkeeper products on our website. Use code SOS for a 10% discount of all products. Also make sure you follow our social media pages for regular offers and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Season Sports with me, Asmir Begovic. In this episode, we're going to be talking all things NFL and NFL draft with my good friend Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports. This is a great time of year for me. I love the NFL. The free agency period, you know, is a month in and it's been absolutely incredible. Probably something like we've never ever seen before. Just so many moves, so many trades, so many releases of top players and stars, and It's just a crazy time of year, and obviously with the NFL draft coming up in Texas, lots to chat about there as well. Touch on a couple of off-season moves so far. Obviously the Rams, I think they've been a huge player in the off-season so far. They've made some amazing moves. Stocked up their defensive backfield with Marcus Peters from the Kansas City Chiefs and Aqib Talib from Denver, as well as adding to their front line with Ndamukong Suh from Miami, who was released there, which was a surprise to many people. And, you know, they might have the best defensive player in the game, and Aaron Donald, who's on one side of the defensive line, and now you have Ndamukong Suh on the other. It's going to be an absolute nightmare of a matchup for the opposing offensive lines and their teams, as both these guys usually tend to get a double team. So they're going to be huge players. They're in for the Odell Beckham rumors. They're in on the Rob Gronkowski rumors. So sure, plenty of moves to happen in LA as they're going for a Super Bowl there and beefing up that big market. A couple of other crazy moves. Obviously, Richard Sherman was cut from the Seattle Seahawks. Not many people saw that coming. He ends up going to the San Francisco 49ers. I actually would have liked maybe my Patriots to get involved with him, because I think we could use with a little bit of help at cornerback. Stephon Gilmore is our number one cornerback. Obviously, Malcolm Butler is gone. So would have been maybe a low-risk move to try and beef up our backfield there and help out. But no, he goes to the 49ers. He was the first player ever to negotiate his own contract, which is pretty impressive. Well done to him. And the 49ers keep adding to their team as well. Now they have their franchise quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. My favorite move of the offseason so far, I think, goes to the Minnesota Vikings and picking up Kirk Cousins. I know that he was the first ever player to get 100% guaranteed money in a contract, which is unheard of. But it's great for him. I think he's an upgrade on Case Keenum, and that team didn't need much help to get much more help, as they're such a good side. So I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with. The NFC is looking very, very strong. Many teams there who can contend for the championship. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to help the Vikings a lot, because I think now for them the expectation is Super Bowl or bust. So we'll see how it goes on from there. But before we get into our chat with Neil Reynolds, I actually wanted to do a first here on Season of Sports. I'm going to do my own Season of Sports Asmir Begovic mock draft. So I'm going to give you guys the top 10 picks of the draft, how I see it now, how I see fit, and then what I see appropriate for most teams and what their needs are. So, all right, on the clock, first pick is the Cleveland Browns. I believe, in my eyes, they do need to draft a quarterback. They have messed around with that pick the last couple of years, never got it right, missed out on a couple franchise quarterbacks. And I think this year they can't afford to get it wrong. So I think they go for Sam Darnold from USC. For me, he's the top prospect, quarterback prospect in the draft. Thick, strong kid who can play in that Cleveland weather. You know, when you play in the AFC North, you're going to play against Baltimore twice a year. You're going to play against Cincinnati twice a year, as well as Pittsburgh twice a year. So you need a big kid who can take that weather, take what those conditions bring. And I think he looked amazing this pro day. And even the fact that it rained and that he carried on and did his thing was huge. And I think they have to go and get Sam Darnold. I know they traded for Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills, and I think he can maybe start, and you can bring Sam Darnold through, but there's no way you can miss this kid. And I think he has to go and be the number one pick for the Cleveland Browns. Now, the next two picks get very interesting. I think the New York Giants and the New York Jets were picking at number 2 and number 3, respectively. Have some big decisions to make. Obviously, the Jets traded up with the Indianapolis Colts to get the number 3 pick. They must obviously like 2 or 3 players to try and draft. Otherwise, they don't make that trade. The New York Giants could go one or the other. A lot of reports out there in the NFL media in New York coming that they will stick with Eli Manning and they will not draft a quarterback, which, you know, I think is a mistake. But based on these reports, I'm going to go and put Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, with the New York Giants. I think he adds a new dimension to their offense. I think he's a home run hitting type of running back with big plays. Reggie Bush type coming out of college, obviously I think a better version of that, but someone who can make big plays and get the fans off their feet. He's not going to be a Leonard Fournette who's going to carry the ball 30 to 35 times, but I think it makes a big difference for the New York Giants offense. And I think they take Saquon Barkley at number two if they stay in that pick. Keep an eye on the New York Giants at this moment of recording. They are the number two pick, but they could trade down and accumulate some more picks as they have many holes in their team. That would then leave the New York Jets number three, and I think they go with Josh Rosen from UCLA. I think this kid is a refined, cultured, technically gifted quarterback, maybe the most refined of all, out of all the quarterbacks in the quarterback-rich draft. And I think he is a smart kid. He's an educated kid. I think he fits the New York market perfectly. I think he can deal with the pressures of playing there for such a big franchise as the Jets. They re-signed Josh McCown. They've signed Teddy Bridgewater to a free agent contract. So again, Josh Rosen doesn't have to go in right away and be the man. They could take it slowly with him, develop him, and let the other guys teach him and show him the ropes. So I think Josh Rosen goes at number three. Now the Cleveland Browns, you know, I think at number four go for Minkah Fitzpatrick, defensive end from Alabama. I think he is what most people say that one of the best players in the draft and non-miss for many teams. I think you can beef up your defensive line. He's a very accomplished player coming out of college in a great system in Alabama under Nick Saban. I think he's one of the most ready players for this NFL draft. I think he goes at number four to the Cleveland Browns. Number five, Denver Broncos. I have them picking Josh Allen from Wyoming. I know they signed Case Keenum to a two-year deal. I think Case Keenum is a very solid NFL player, but he's not going to be a long-term franchise quarterback. I think the Denver Broncos do need to address this position long-term, and I think this is where Josh Allen from Wyoming comes in. Another big kid who's got the strongest arm in the draft, had a very impressive scouting combine, and I think he can go at number five and be a difference maker for the Denver Broncos in the future. Under the guidance of John Elway, who can, I think, help him a lot in his development, I think he can go in at number five and learn the ropes. The one thing that does concern me with him is obviously his accuracy. His percentages were very low and without a huge amount of competition in college football. So we'll see how he can develop, but I think he has a lot of potential. At six, I think the Indianapolis Colts go for Bradley Chubb, defensive end. They have their quarterback, the franchise quarterback, and Andrew Luck, so I think they can fill out other holes in their roster. I think Bradley Chubb is going to be causing lots of havoc in the defensive line, getting to the other quarterback, and the Indianapolis Colts defense needs to improve a lot. So I think Bradley Chubb can be a big difference maker and make a huge difference for this franchise. He's from North Carolina State. He's had a great college career, and I think he can be a big, big player for the Indianapolis Colts. Now at seven, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking Denzel Ward, cornerback from Ohio State. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to address their defensive backfield, and I think this kid can be a huge, huge player. I think he's one of them. As Marshawn Lattimore last year as New Orleans and the impact that he had, I think he can come in and make the same impact for Tampa Bay and help this team be successful. And number eight, arguably maybe the second or third best overall player, I think the Chicago Bears draft Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame. He is a very, very polished player coming to college, very, very sophisticated offensive lineman, and I think he can beef up that line to protect Mitchell Trubisky. And you're looking at maybe the next 10 years. I think he's a Midwest kid, tough kid, who can really make an impact in Chicago and make a big difference for the Bears. So I think they go for Quentin Nelson. I think the Buffalo Bills, if they stay at number nine and don't trade the pick and get even higher up in the draft, I think they go for Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma. Their need for quarterback is no secret to anybody. They've traded away Tyrod Taylor. They have no quarterback. They've signed AJ McCarron, who I think can be a valuable backup, maybe even start the season, let Baker Mayfield come through the ranks. But they go for quarterback and Baker Mayfield, who they believe can make a big difference. I'm not sure if he can make a huge difference in the cold weather and that sort of environment, but at the same time, they can't afford not to be in the top 10 and not pick a quarterback. So I think Baker Mayfield goes to the Buffalo Bills, and I think they'll trade up to get the number 9 pick, and that's where they will get Baker Mayfield. San Francisco had the number 9 pick, and I think they will trade that to Buffalo, and they will trade down and get more picks. So I think Buffalo will be the number 9 pick as we come on the day, and that's where they will pick Baker Mayfield. I think number 10, the Oakland Raiders, they will pick Marcus Davenport, big defensive end. I think he can make a big difference on that defensive line. I think that back seven was very weak for the Oakland Raiders in the last couple of years. But you have Khalil Mack on one side and Davenport on the other, and I think this causes trouble for opposing teams. So I think at number 10, the Oakland Raiders pick Marcus Davenport. Now, I do believe if the San Francisco 49ers don't trade that number 9 pick to the Buffalo Bills, they will go for Derwin James, a safety from Florida State. I think he had maybe one of the best ever draft combine performances, and I think he can make a big difference. Richard Sherman coming in that backfield, Witherspoon as well. I think those three can form a formidable backfield for the San Francisco 49ers if they stay at 9. I do have to make sure that that's understood, if they stay at number 9. And if they go pick at 9, I think Baker Mayfield could go at 11 to the Miami Dolphins. I think they're desperate for a quarterback, and keep an eye on the Dolphins. I think they could trade up in this draft. I think they can make some moves to try and get a quarterback even higher up than they are at 11 and make a difference. One other sleeper team that you have to keep an eye on is the Arizona Cardinals. They did sign Sam Bradford, but I think in the division they're in the NFC West, with the likes of the Los Angeles Rams, who have Sean McVay and Jared Goff, Seattle Seahawks, who have Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, and obviously now the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo and his head coach Kyle Shanahan, they will need a quarterback. So be very careful what the Arizona Cardinals do, and they might be aggressive to try and get one of these quarterbacks as one of the first 10 picks. So this is my mock draft, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. It's the first ever time we did it, and we'll see how it all plays out. You know, this is the craziness of the NFL draft. Anything can happen, but this is what I see as being the best fits for these 10 teams currently holding the first 10 picks. So now we move on, and we have a chat with Neil Reynolds. So now joining me on the Season of Sports to talk some NFL and all things NFL draft is Sky Sports' Neil Reynolds. Neil, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me. Thanks for having me on.
No, well, listen, we appreciate you being on. So thanks a lot for coming on the show. Lots of things to get through with you, actually, because even though NFL season isn't on right now, there has been an unbelievable free agency period so far, and as well as the NFL draft coming up very shortly. So lots of things to get through. I do want to look back a little bit on free agency so far. We're almost a month through free agency. And have you ever remembered a period like this, by the way?
No, I think it was a funny one in terms of, first of all, just the activity. Just, it seems to intensify every off season now. I think teams are working on almost 3-year plans and 3-year cycles to find success before they kind of rip it up and start again. So they're becoming increasingly adventurous, increasingly desperate, I want to say, for some teams. And so we're seeing more kind of rolling of the financial dice with the free agency, and obviously salary cap goes up in the NFL every year. I think it's been going up on average about $10 million that goes into the pool of money that each team can spend on its players each year. So therefore, teams are able to take the financial risk, but we're also seeing more trades than I think we've seen in recent years, and big name players as well being released as teams try and, you know, juggle their finances. It's really a kind of cutthroat reminder that the NFL is a business, and the players sometimes there's no respecter of reputation when it comes to that free agency period. But this year in particular, I've not seen anything like it for a long, long time. To have so many quarterbacks out there hitting the market as well. So you had all the Kirk Cousins stuff, and then the knock-ons of where Sam Bradford went and Case Keenum. Made for a very, very fascinating middle of March.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at some of the big names being released, the likes of Richard Sherman and Dominican Sue, these are not players you expect to be let go by their franchises. But that's what's happened now. And like you said, no one is safe in the NFL. Everyone can be victim to the salary cap, and it's all about building. And I think almost now, because normally what we find in the NFL, in my mind, is that teams build through the draft. Mm. Now, because of maybe the success the Eagles had last offseason, signing the likes of Alshon Jeffrey and bringing those guys in through a free agency, it's almost like a copycat league where people now follow that lead. Is that something you've seen trending as well?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the previous season as well, Alex Mack, who was an offensive lineman for the Falcons, was a big part of their Super Bowl team, the team that reached the Super Bowl and played against the Patriots. I think about half of the Eagles starters in their Super Bowl win were from free agency. So it's always, you're right, it's always, well, the tried and trusted way is through the NFL draft. I don't think it's the case anymore. I think there's more risk attached to free agency, but we see in the draft every year players that burn out and don't make it. So I think it's definitely kind of got an equal footing now, the free agency period. I think you need to be able to supplement with veteran players. And also, you know, as I sort of mentioned at the start, I don't know if they have 5 or 6 years to build through the draft. I'm not sure there's very many coaches that have that kind of luxury in terms of time to build a team, and I'm not sure general managers have that either. So yeah, I think there's an urgency to everything now, and it's funny because ironically you end up going, you know, some of the contracts that you sign in free agency, you know, then the players don't see the entire length of that contract because of the financial reasons, and then you end up going back to the market again. So the draft is incredibly valuable, but I think now we have to see that, yeah, free agency is a serious part of building any roster in the NFL.
I think it's safe to say, and I think we can agree on this, that probably the team with the biggest splashes so far in free agency have been the Los Angeles Rams. Like they're a proper stack now. I mean, you obviously have a need for cornerback, so they go out get Marcus Peters from the Kansas City Chiefs. So you think they're looking good? Then they go to Denver and acquire Aqib Talib, another top 10 cornerback in the league for sure. Then they beef up the defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and sign him on a one-year deal from the Miami Dolphins. So imagine that defense. One end you have, for me, maybe the best player in the NFL, the best defensive player in my mind, in Aaron Donald. And then you have Ndamukong Suh on the other side. And this is an incredible team. They're shaping up to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I think the Rams have been fascinating. When you look at, like you say, Aaron Donald is pretty unblockable at all times and always commands two offensive linemen to block him. Now you add Ndamukong Suh, who I always felt was one of the best defenders in the NFL, and again, somebody who needs to be blocked with two men. And then you get two cornerbacks who can, you know, just pinch the football, and in Talib and Marcus Peters especially. And so I think they've really put themselves in position to be Super Bowl contenders. They've taken advantage of the fact that they've got only a second-year quarterback who's still on his rookie contract in Jared Goff, so he's cheap, which means you can spend the money elsewhere. There's a salary cap, of course, for rookies who come out in their first 4 years in the NFL. And so I think they've allowed themselves that financial wiggle room. I also think it's very interesting to see what head coach Sean McVay is going to do in terms of managing these players and how strong a leader Wade Phillips he has been all throughout his career, the veteran defensive coach, taking charge of these players. Because I think when I look at Suh and I look at Peters and Talib, I think there's a reason that all three of their teams that they were with were happy to give up on their outstanding talent. And I think it was financial, some of it, but I also think they are outspoken. They're certainly not yes men to their coaches. And so it's interesting to me that these three strong characters have all rocked up in Los Angeles, and Sean McVay has the confidence to kind of take them on.
Well, absolutely. And let's hope they get off to a good start, because if they don't, he said it could be trouble brewing in that team. But obviously winning solves a lot of issues. And if they get off to a good start, then look out for the rest of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Any other move stand out to you in free agency before we move on, talk about the draft? Anything else that you think, like, that was a heck of a pickup, and I really like that one?
Yeah, so I think there's two guys for sometimes you look again for, like, to see a laundry list of players that have been signed, but sometimes it just takes a couple. And I think I really was interested to see the Tennessee Titans sign two players from the New England Patriots, running back Deion Lewis and cornerback Malcolm Butler, who of course fell out of favor with Bill Belichick. I don't think we'll ever know the full reasons why that happened, but I think what was important there, two good players. Lewis can be added to the running back pairing with Derrick Henry, and I think they can provide a real nice 1-2 punch. Malcolm Butler improves an already good secondary, but what they bring importantly is that proven winning and that experience in the New England Patriots system, because the Titans now are going to be coached by Mike Vrabel, who was a Super Bowl winning linebacker with the New England Patriots. So to me, that was interesting to find a good fit there for the Titans. Somebody or two players that know the Patriot way, as they call it. And if Mike Vrabel wants to coach that way, there's two guys that can deliver his message in the locker room for him.
Yeah, well, absolutely. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so the Patriots way carries on in the NFL. I have to say that I really liked the pickup. I know it's an obvious one, and people might not, you know, look at it in such a big deal, but I thought Kirk Cousins going to the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, that was a very strong team. Probably one thing you would like to see them improve on was the quarterback position, as Case Keenum, as good as Case Keenum was. I think now Kirk Cousins is a definite upgrade, and that makes some serious contenders in the NFC. And the NFC is looking great. I mean,
you have
seven, eight, nine teams that could really challenge for the playoffs and get into that, those playoffs and into that NFC Championship and Super Bowl. So I'm excited to see what happens the rest of the free agency. Lots of trades, and the rest moment in time, well, some great moves have happened so far, and we'll see what happens for the rest of
it. Yeah, I think you're right on Cousins. I mean, I'm one of the things, I spoke to him at the Super Bowl. I've done a couple of tours with Kirk around the UK, so I know him quite well. And one of the things he said was that wherever I go, it's going to be about winning. And I kind of thought, well, I hope you're right, but you know, obviously you're going to try and set yourself up financially and set your family up for life. So, and of course, this is a business, so you're going to have to take the best deal on the table, but he has put himself in a situation where he can win. He can be part of a very successful team. Now, of course, yeah, he's got to deliver, because people will say, well, they got to the semi-finals last year with Case Keenum, so what can Kirk do for us? But I think it's a really good situation for him.
Neil Reynolds, joining me here on the Season Sports, talk all things NFL, NFL Draft, host of the Inside the Huddle podcast, host of NFL UK live events, as well as a host on Sky Sports TV. So, Neil, it's a pleasure to have you on. Now I want to move on to the NFL Draft, which is being held in Texas, Arlington this year from April 26th to 28th. Really excited to see how it unfolds. One of my favorite times of the year, to see where these youngsters go. What are your feelings in terms of the draft? At this moment in time, as we're recording this, there's still some teams. I think there was some trades going to happen. A couple of teams that really need a quarterback, I think, will trade up, like the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see if they can make a push for a couple of the earlier picks. How do you see things going into the draft at the moment?
I think it's going to be very interesting because I think we've got five quarterbacks that could potentially go in round one. We could have three of them go in the top five picks, and I don't think anyone knows who the clear number one is. I mean, could it be Sam Darnold from USC, or Josh Rosen from UCLA, Josh Allen from Wyoming, Baker Mayfield? You know, there's this very good talent. I'm not going to say outstanding, but very good talent at the quarterback position that is going to interest a lot of teams, and if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you really have nothing in terms of a championship challenge. You have to find a quarterback. I think you're right. I think we'll see a lot of trades. Again, going back to that talk about the league being more aggressive, teams like the Colts will be open for business in terms of trading down even further, because they just need a number of players. They don't need a quarterback. They'll be hoping Andrew Luck comes back. I think Buffalo Bills have backed themselves into a corner by trading away Tyrod Taylor. They do bring in AJ McCarron in free agency, but I think they need a quarterback, so they're going to try and make a move to get up to get one of these big passers. So it's interesting, because it's always about the quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks might not be the two best players in this draft. Saquon Barkley, a running back from Penn State, is probably the number one on everyone's board, and a big offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. He's probably the second best player in this draft, but the value of the quarterback position makes it very interesting. So I think there'll be a lot of wheeling and dealing. I think we'll see a lot of quarterback discussions in round one. And given what he did to Ezekiel Elliott, and the fact that he was in quite a public argument with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, for a while. I'm intrigued to see what kind of reception Commissioner Roger Goodell gets when he steps out to the podium in Dallas as well. That could be quite colourful.
Yeah, exactly. He probably didn't think of that when he placed the draft in Texas. I think that's the interesting part. This is arguably the one of the best ever quarterback classes we've had, especially for a long time. So I think everyone will be desperate for a quarterback. A lot of teams are in need of a quarterback. You know, I still think, now I want to get into the first pick with you and what your thoughts are. I still think, and watching his pro day at USC in the rain, which impressed me a lot, I still think Sam Darnold is your number one pick for the Cleveland Browns. I think they need a big, thick, chunky quarterback who knows the game, can play that style. You know, you play in the AFC North against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. I think Sam Darnold is a perfect fit for the Cleveland Browns. I know they acquired Tyrod Taylor. I know that he can maybe start and Sam could grow as the season goes on and the next couple of years go on. I still think he should be the overall number one pick. What do you see happening at number one?
I would 100% agree with you. I think I watched that pro day and I thought the same thing. I thought this guy's perfect for the AFC North. It's going to rain in Cincinnati. It'll be miserable in Cleveland at times. The weather can get a bit ropey in Pittsburgh. So big physical quarterback who you know, can evade pressure, can keep his eyes downfield and make plays. And I tell you why I think he's going number one, because the Browns could roll the dice and take Saquon Barkley at number one, and they'll still get one of their quarterbacks, or they'll get a quarterback with the fourth overall pick. They'll get one of the top three quarterbacks. I think they're scared to death to miss on another high prospect at quarterback. If you look at last year, they traded out of position with Houston. They could have taken Deshaun Watson. He turns out to be a star. 2 years ago, they were in the number two pick. They didn't really rate Carson Wentz. They trade out of that pick, and Carson Wentz becomes a star. I don't think the Browns can afford to miss on another quarterback. So I'm with you. I think they take Sam Darnold with the first overall pick. I think he's probably the safest bet. I like his kind of upside. I mean, there's a little bit of risk to his play, but I think he's got a lot of potential. But you know, I sometimes think general managers shouldn't be swayed by the past, but I wonder if they'd just be scared stiff to miss on another one. So I think they will go quarterback first overall.
Yeah, I think that the pressure's on for them. I think there's only so many chances you get to draft your potentially franchise quarterback and have him sitting there. And I think this guy could definitely be a fit for the Cleveland Browns. Now, I did a mock draft earlier in the show. I think number two and number three can be very, very difficult, because the New York Giants at this moment in time hold the number two pick. The New York Jets hold the number three pick. Lots of rumors coming out of New York that Eli Manning will still be the quarterback for the New York Giants, that they're not going to draft a quarterback. I personally think that is a mistake, but based on the reports, I have Saquon Barkley going to the Giants. I still think they should go for Josh Rosen and someone. I think it's a perfect situation, Neil, because you could have Eli Manning. If he accepts the next year or two being in a position where he can groom the next quarterback coming through, and you don't have to throw Josh Rosen, who is a bright boy, who is a great quarterback, very polished quarterback at this stage, you know, who can handle the New York lights and the bright lights and the pressure of playing there. But you don't have to chuck him in right away. There's no need. You can have Eli there, Josh Rosen coming in underneath. It would be the perfect situation. But I guess, you know, the people in charge might think differently. And I, at the moment, have Saquon Barkley. How do you see two and three going based on what you know and what you've heard?
I think, again, going back to what I said at the start, I think Saquon Barkley's a generational talent, and Sean Payton called him the best running back prospect in 25 years. So the logic suggests that that's where the Giants go. I just think that we're going back to the whole, just the value of the quarterback position. And I think if the Giants stay in that position, because business as well, I think Dave Gettleman knows they've got a lot of holes to fill. If they can trade down and pick up additional first or second round draft picks, I think the Giants do that. if the Giants stay where they are, I think they take a quarterback. I think, I think Barkley is a much better player than anyone they take there. But I think, again, it's just the value of that position. I think we could easily see quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3. The Jets are definitely taking a quarterback. What's interesting with the Jets for me is number 3 is normally you trade up and you give up a lot to go up for somebody that you know you're going to get. And the Jets must like 3 players there because they don't have a guarantee of who they know they're going to have at number 3, which is really unusual in terms of your trading. But I think we're just going to be kind of very obviously reminded of the importance of the quarterback position, although I think it's a little bit unfair on Saquon Barkley because I think he is really special. I think it's a quarterback league and everyone needs to find one.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing about Saquon Barkley I would say is, you know, he reminds me, obviously a better version of it, but he reminds me of Reggie Bush coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I think he seems to be
at
home.
Yeah, he's not a Leonard Fournette, is he? He's not going to run you over. He's not that kind of player.
But that's what I mean. And I think when you're in that position, I think what's your bigger need and what's the bigger importance of a team? Like you said, the value of a quarterback. You get a quarterback who knows, touch the ball 50, 60 times a game. Well, Saquon Barkley is great to have, but he is more of a home run hitting running back, if that makes sense. He's a big play sort of guy, not one who's going to take a beating and carry the ball 30, 35 times a game. So I think it's a tricky one going for these guys. The one thing about the Giants I would say is, though, Neil, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is the Odell Beckham rumors, touching on the draft now, is I would draft down. I would trade this pick. I would go down. They have a lot of holes in the New York Giants roster. I would even, if I can get the Browns' 4th overall pick and trade Odell Beckham and maybe even another number one pick, and there's a lot of stuff they can do because I think they could really fill out their roster and make more out of this draft. How do you see the Giants and what do you think the strategy is?
Yeah, so I think I would put the Giants in the same position as the Indianapolis Colts, a team with a lot of needs. And so general managers who are willing to do that, to sort of sacrifice the now for a stronger future. I think general managers that are just coming to the just at the start of their reigns as well, which gives them time to build and put their stamp on things. So Chris Ballard with the Colts is one, and Dave Gettleman with the Giants is another. I think the Odell Beckham thing is going to be fascinating. I think he is definitely in play. I think he's definitely up for grabs. And I think the Giants have had enough of his act. I think he's a tremendous player. He's an electrifying talent. But there's just a lot of little things, one on top of the other, that they have to deal with off the field. And I think Dave Gettleman is a kind of no-nonsense general manager who would move on from Odell Beckham, as big a call as that would be. He's done that before. He cut Steve Smith Sr. in Carolina. He took the franchise tag off Josh Norman when he was with the Panthers. So I think Odell Beckham might have a part to play in this draft, and yeah, I definitely think that the Giants would be willing to trade down if they had that opportunity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think this would be a good way of maximizing his value and making the whole team better. Before I let you go, give me a little dark horse. We're gonna get into Patriots action in a second. Give me a little dark horse in the draft, a player that maybe you've seen who can really make a big impact. I know you mentioned Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. Anyone else you see who can make an impact who maybe people haven't spoken about as much?
I think we'll see, again, some teams trying to find running backs who can, if they don't carry the load, will make instant impact in the NFL. And I like Sony Michel, who's from Georgia. I've seen him compared to Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt. I think he would be one that is worth looking out for as a running back. And a guy who I really am interested to see in the NFL is defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick. So I think he could be really special. I was very interested to see that Ray Lewis, the great Ray Lewis, described this guy as a culture changer, somebody who changes the culture of an entire team. I think he's that kind of great leader, talks everything the right way, is a good locker room guy, and I think importantly, he's a player at Alabama. He's played as a cornerback in the slot. He's played a little bit of safety, and I think he's that kind of, you know, a Tyrann Mathieu type who can play all over the field. So I think there's a couple there that I would look out for on either side of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick on Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama. I think he's going to go top 10, and any team would love to have him. Now, to finish off, my Patriots, we only have 4 picks in the draft this year. You know, I think this is one of the things that I don't really criticize the Patriots much at all. I love everything they do, but in the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, I just thought there was a lot more to get, especially with the cap situation in New England. I think the draft could have been an ideal opportunity to stock up on some talent. Who do you see the Patriots drafting? One of the names I've mentioned, the needs for the Patriots is running back. So Sonny Michel could be in play if he gets down to the 31st pick where the Patriots are picking. Anyone in particular you might see for the Patriots a good fit?
I'm not sure how they'll all kind of play out, but I still think they need an offensive tackle. I think that would be a kind of an area they might look at. I think with Nate Solder going, so somebody like a Connor Williams from Texas, who's not the finished article yet, but very athletic, very good as a pass blocker. I think he's that sort of modern day NFL offensive tackle. I think they need they could definitely use another running back. I don't know if they would go very high with a running back because Belichick always likes to, look at having a rotation of players there. So those would be, I think, offensive tackle, running back. I still think maybe cornerback as well, add in another corner. But I agree with you. I think when you look back at the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, first of all, I think it'll be 5 years down the road, we might call that Bill Belichick's biggest mistake, because I think he's going to be pretty special, Jimmy Garoppolo. But also just to part with him for a second round draft pick, I think that was not good business. And you're right, we're not normally used to criticizing the Patriots because they do so much right. But that was a bit of a blow. Maybe by the time this comes out, they'll be needing a tight end. Who knows?
Yeah, well, don't say that. Don't say Gronk is out of town. We don't want to talk about that. Although anything is possible. Like you said, anything is possible in the NFL. No one is safe. So we'll see.
Belichick's traded away people in the past, hasn't he? Jamie Collins.
That is right. Robert
Jones.
So. Yeah. No, I'm going to ignore that.
Well, you trust in Bill.
I have trust in Bill and Tom, absolutely, and Mr. Kraft, but we'll see what happens. But listen, Neil, it's been a pleasure to talk with you on the Season Sports here. Guys, make sure you follow Neil for the latest NFL news on Twitter, at Neil Reynolds NFL. Great insight, great knowledge of the game, and really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks for your time, Neil.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now it's time for the huddle. This is the part of the show where we answer your questions, which you guys sent to us via social media. We appreciate your guys' take and input and your questions for each and every show. Make sure you keep following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Season of Sports. On Facebook, it's the Season of Sports. And on Instagram, it's at Season_of_sports. Keep them coming in for each and every show, guys. This week, the first question comes from AckerLarson17. He asks, who do you want your favorite team to pick in the NFL draft? Now, I think that's a great question. Obviously, the Patriots have 4 picks in this year's NFL draft. How we only have 4 is crazy. When we traded away Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that's the one thing the past year I would say the New England Patriots maybe could have done better is to get their compensation a little bit better for Jimmy Garoppolo and get a couple more picks and restock through the draft as they normally do. But saying that, we have the 31st pick in the first round. I think, you know, the likes of Sonny Michel from Georgia, the running back, is in play. He could be a potential option. But Bill Belichick, I'm not sure he will pick a running back so high. So maybe the offensive lineman, Martinez Rankin from Mississippi State, could be a good pick there. With the loss of Nate Solder, he he could be a good choice to help beef up that offensive line and protect the likes of Tom Brady going forward. So the next question is, who do you think should be the first overall pick in the NFL draft? For me, it should be clear cut. It should be Sam Darnold, the quarterback of USC. He's a fantastic player, a perfect fit for Cleveland. His physical nature, the way he plays the game, his mentality, I think, would be great for that franchise, and it could be a quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years and just be a franchise quarterback they've been needing for such a long time. So I think Sam Darnold goes at one and be a great pick for the Cleveland Browns. So that's it, guys, for this week. We really appreciate your questions. Thanks a lot for sending them in. Keep sending them to us in the future. We love your feedback. And, yeah, keep listening to us on Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify. Keep giving us your review. Let us know what you think of the show, how we can improve. And we love pushing it forward. Huge thanks to my guest, Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports. Great guy to have on the show. Make sure you listen to his podcast, Inside the Huddle. Some great stuff on there, some great insights. And thanks again for listening to the show, guys. One other thing before I let you guys go is my charity golf day, the 14th of May, Azerbaijan Golf Classic at Burry Hill Golf Club. Make sure you go on our website, azerbaijanfoundation.com, to get information for tickets and for the event. We have a great field lined up, so we look forward to having as many of you guys there as possible. So that brings us to the end of the show, guys. Thank you very much. I'll be with you again very, very soon.